welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This being show number 69, everybody, on February 19th, 2004, believe it or not. And we're recording at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive right here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. The host for the Blind Handyman Show, Don Shaw.
Well, there you go, Mr. Houston.
I saw Patterson's eyes get big to see what last name I was coming up with. Don Patterson.
Well, I don't care what Punxsutawney Phil says in Pennsylvania. Spring Dam seems like it's come to Texas.
Seems like it.
My name is Tom Houston, the token sighted guy and driver for the Blind Handyman Show. But here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the creator, the producer of Blind Handyman, Phil Parr.
Give me some idea what kind of crowd we have here today. You know, pathetic, isn't it? You realize that someday it's going to be from, you know, the Pinecrest recording studio. And we'll all be laying in our beds kind of in the upright position during this show. I think all of us are sick. Tom and I and everybody's had doctor's appointments, and we're recording a little late this week, but we're here.
Yeah.
Everybody got through Valentine's Day, Pat, did you? Did you buy Emily some?
Absolutely, yeah. I got her an entertainment armoire for the bedroom for the TV.
For Valentine's Day?
Yes, sir.
Well, don't tell Luann, okay? I got her a little cheap box of candy.
I think Emmy's getting her over tonight to show it to her.
Yeah, I bought her a little nothing box of candy. I think that'd be... Actually, I bought her a dozen roses.
Great.
Well, that was sweet.
Dozen roses. I figured, what the hell, I let her pay for them.
Well, I got... Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
That's a good way.
You know, I got into trouble last year with the roses.
I know.
The florist. I mean, I called at the last minute, kind of. 2 o'clock Valentine's Day, and said, could you deliver a dozen roses? And I've never heard so many people laugh in all my life.
Yeah, they... I hedged my bet, though, this time. I called him...
Yeah, you gave me 2 days heads up.
I did. Yeah. I called you and reminded you because I didn't want you to get in the same. Because when you're married, it's a lot.
Well, I'd already figured this out. I knew what she wanted, and I just couldn't. I knew what she wanted, but she's kind of particular, and I couldn't find exactly the right one. But we did, and so.
When it's your girlfriend, it's a little different because when it's your wife, you're living with her, so it takes 3 or 4 days to get over.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I just did a real nice card in a box of chocolates,
which you've probably been helping her eat.
Of course, they were heart shaped.
Heart shaped chocolates.
Yes, that's right,
Jean Boy.
That's my favorite.
I have to go with the chocolates also.
Hers too. I found it.
I bet I know what you did, Shaw. You told her, well, we're having the dog fixed. Isn't that enough?
Yeah.
You didn't do that?
Not this time. Not this year.
Shaw's dog is some sort of problem.
So what? Tell us about it. What was it, Shaw?
What did you do?
Oh, the old chocolate candy trick.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
That or Mexican food will work pretty good.
Yeah.
Every time. Of course, my wife's on a diet, so I've had to eat most of the chocolates.
It's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it.
Well, we're all here. It seems like a long time since we've been...
Doesn't it? Seems like a while since we recorded.
We usually record on Monday. We're recording on Thursday, so we're 3 or 4 days behind. But it just seems like a long time since we've all been gathered in our places with bright, shiny faces and all that silly stuff. Anyway, do we have email or what?
Well, we do indeed. Well, we took some stuff off the list here that I thought was applicable.
All right.
And this is something you and Don Shaw, I know a whole lot about, and it's building picnic tables.
Oh, man.
Hello, I'm thinking of building a picnic table and was wondering how long the standard table was and how to figure the angles you need to cut for the legs and such. Thanks, Bob.
Well, it depends. What I did, I went to Walmart and bought a cheap one, a little $40 one, and never put it together. Just used it as a pattern. I guess I could. The tables we built are about 6 feet long, and they're tables with attached benches. So the supports go. The top is just a normal top with a thing on each end we built the tops. The last ones we built the tops out of what they call deck boards that are 6 inches or 5 3/4 inches wide.
That 5/4 lumber.
Yeah,
right?
five quarter
lumber, and it's a inch and a quarter thick, and it's 5 3/4 inches wide, I think. And we had 5 of those across the top, 6 feet long. And the angle, the problem with cutting angles is you got to remember, You cut the same. If you take a board, a 2x4, and you cut an angle at the bottom, and then you cut exactly the same angle at the top angle will be flat. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
In other words, if you put that bottom angle down on the floor and you've cut exactly the same angle at the top, the top angle is going to be flat to go against the top of the picnic table.
Uh-huh.
And then you just put a cross piece across there and put benches on it, and bingo, you've got it.
Well, I would say, and I think we could measure and send, maybe if we wanted to take mm-hmm. this on ourselves, we could email him this, but roughly your end pieces, your support, are like an X, like the letter X, a capital yeah. letter. And then you have your cross piece going across there at some point for your benches
yeah.
to rest on, which would be, but actually those angles there should be 45s. The one on the top and then the one on the bottom in the opposite. Well, actually, they would be in the same cut on your miter saw, wouldn't they, Don?
Actually, they would be the same cut.
The same
they
cut.
It would be the same way. In other words, the board would angle mm-hmm. the same way. You'd have a small side right. of the board and a long side. So it would be if you cut the board on your miter saw, you'd flip it over and remember to cut it exactly the same way. And if you put that flat angle on the and 45 would do it.
It'd be flat.
If right. you put that flat 45 on the ground, it's going to be flat on top.
Right. Yeah. If the angle is sitting flat on the ground, which would be.
Wait a minute. Now the angle would be reversed. Think about it. Yeah, the angle would be reversed.
Well, let's see.
The angle would be reversed on one end.
And then turned your board around. No, you could keep your saw. If you cut one end off at a 45, and yep. then you flipped your board around, it would be the same.
Okay, it would be the same angle, but the angles go two different ways.
Not
yes.
really.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they do. Think about it. Think about it. I got it in my mind. They go two different ways. They go two different ways. If they went the same way, it wouldn't work. They go two different ways. They go one would go one way and one would go the other. Trust me on this one.
I'm going to draw it.
Okay,
out.
I think if you laid your board on your miter saw, okay, and you cut
145.
No, okay, but let's have your saw is turned to the left.
It's turned to the left.
Yeah.
Okay.
You push it. You
and
cut you,
and
that 45.
Your board is extended to the right. Is that correct?
No, your board's extended to the left. We're cutting the little end off on the.
Okay.
All right, you cut that, and then if you turn that board around and leave that saw where it is and cut it again, both of your angles would be leaning in the same direction.
It won't work.
If
won't work.
It's confusing to me. I can't.
The angle's got to be the other way. In other words, if you've cut the board, the board is sticking out to the left of your miter saw, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're cutting to the left. You cut one angle and you flip that board over, that angle needs to face away from you.
Well, are we saying flip the board over or swap ends?
Swap ends.
Well, the angle
swap
should
ends,
be
and
the
that
same.
Angle needs that angle needs the angle needs to be the little side needs to be away from you when you cut the next one.
I think
yep. Okay. Well, I'll get one when we get through and show you. Okay. On the break, I'll go get one and show you. That's the way it's got to be. If not, you got this angle down, and then the other angle is going to be slanting the wrong way.
Okay.
Anyway,
in other words, you're saying you put both angles on the same side of the board. You have a long side of the board and a short side.
Right.
That's wrong.
No, you have, but, well, I can show you. Anyway, you don't have to change positions of your saw.
No, you don't.
If
no,
you just
don't.
Flip your board.
No,
you
but
don't.
The angles would be going
But the angles would be going right. opposite ways.
It would be going like this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The
yeah.
board slant.
So it would still be flat on top flat and flat on the bottom.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay. But the angles go opposite ways on the ends of the board.
And that's a good idea, buying the picnic table to get the first pattern.
I mean, if you're going to build several of them, that's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, just build a bunch.
Don't put it together and just use those pieces. Because you can buy one at Walmart for $39.95 and you put it together.
And then you got your cutout.
But now, if you're going to build a decent picnic table, the wood is going to cost you $50 to $60 for a decent picnic table, plus nuts and bolts and
yeah, those carriage bolts.
And those carriage bolts. But, you know, if you're just going to build one, just go to Walmart and buy one. You could do it cheaper than you could.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have any tools, if you got plenty of tools, buy one and use this pattern.
And just wanted to do it for the heck of it.
If you just want to do it for the heck of it. But it would be, you know, if you're just going to do one, just go buy one. If you're going to do several, we did.
But you had a picnic table, assembly line going here for a while now.
We've probably done 2 dozen since I made the first one. We've probably done 2 dozen. There's 8, I think, over at the baseball field right now. Because we had this baseball field, and my brother-in-law keeps giving them away to a friend of his. And what the hell his deal is? Nice, here's a nice picnic table. Feel like it, you know. Anyway.
Okay, do y'all know anything about ventless stove hoods?
Ventless, yeah. My microwave is ventless.
We have one.
Okay, it says, hi, everybody. Can those ventless stove hood filters be cleaned?
No.
Or should they just be replaced? Mine is sticky, greasy from the last tenant, and I don't really want to mess around in there.
Just throw it away. Buy a new one.
Darla. Thank you, Darla.
Darla, go buy a new filter. Sticky, nasty, greasy. Yeah, take it out. And ours is ventless. And the only advantage I can see to it is you don't have wind whistling down the vent in the wintertime.
Yeah.
How about yours new one out, John?
Well, they're all ventless anymore, and all that does, you know, they're... People with kind of scientific minds will tell you that venting with a ventless hood is kind of stupid. It doesn't really work. You're just recirculating the same air.
Well, yeah.
You're trying, and actually the filter is supposed to... Now, these filters can be cleaned if somebody's cleaning them on a regular basis. They're metal. Most of them are metal, and a lot of them are dishwasher safe. You know, we're not talking about the old kind of a cloth, like, I mean, there's an outer filter kind of, an outer cover, and then there's this inner kind of mesh screen. I guess, are we talking about the same thing?
Well, I think they're filled, I thought they were filled with charcoal. I thought they were charcoal filters.
Well, there are some, but I think anymore now, it's like a metal, because I inserted, the outside part can be clean. Let's put it then that way. You have a dual filter, and then the other one, I think you buy replacements.
Yeah, for the charcoal.
But you wouldn't need to buy a replacement but every couple years, really.
Yeah, if you'll keep the outside, you know, and then there again, that would depend on how much fried. I mean, frying is the worst you know.
No
just
doubt.
Total.
Speaking of frying, I have come to the conclusion that we... In the part of Texas we are in is a deep fry low sushi area. What do you think? Huh?
I would.
We're deep fry low sushi here in East
Texas. I would go for that.
In East Texas. Anyway, what else you got?
Okay, here's a guy who's got a talking indoor outdoor thermometer. The indoor portion seems to work just fine.
Uh-huh.
Once in a while, the outdoor probe wire or circuitry seems to have a problem.
There now, it goes nuts.
The thermometer will suddenly say 31.9 degrees, and it'll say it three times.
Yeah.
Now, I think saying it three times is normal, but the outdoor temperature will be in the 60s or 70s.
Yeah.
Now, if I check the thermometer a while later, it will be back to normal.
Yeah.
The probe isn't in the wind, so it isn't being moved. It is hanging under the roof of my balcony. I assume the resistance of the wire or probe is used to determine the temperature. Any ideas how I can fix this problem? By the way, the wire isn't being pinched or crimped. I have it running out above the fixed portion of my sliding glass door, and this comes from a fellow by the name of Phil. Help him out, guys.
I think everybody's has one of those has done that. I think you're the one that first said, you know, I thought they had a fire in the kitchen.
Yeah, I was going to say it goes, you know, mine said, and I think it gives the inside temperature first, or whichever, but anyway, at some point it said like it's 108, and I'm thinking, you know, somebody's got, I mean, the stove, we're on fire. First I thought it was a low battery.
No, not
true. And it could, but mine does it periodically. I'd say live with it, because I don't know how to fix it, and I'll tell you about battery changing. Mine still works, and I haven't changed the batteries in 2 years. It just cranks on, and so
I have four indoor outdoor thermometers. Three that are used as indoor outdoor thermometers, and one that I use to check swimming pool with. Uh-huh. And the reason I'm using this one to check the swimming pool with is because it is the one that gave me the. It is the one that would read inside temperature 147. You know,
yeah.
Outside temperature 26, and it was 106 in the shade. So I don't know why some of them do that. I've got a talking caller ID that will just go number unknown, and the phone hasn't rung, or number blocked, and the phone hasn't rung. So figure that out.
Yeah, and like the guy said, too, his goes back to normal.
It does,
mine
eventually.
Mine will do it, and it does it three times, so I don't know what that tells you. And it'll be wrong all three times, and then the next time you can walk up and punch the button.
Everything will
right
be back
after
to normal.
It's done it,
and it'll be normal sometimes.
My probe almost lays on the ground. It's hanging out of a window. It's not, it's not crimped, but it's hanging, and it's on the north side of the house. And it has been, I guarantee you, as accurate as you can get. I mean, if you call the Lufkin, my temperature is usually with the weather. But every once in a while, it just goes spastic like.
Mine is hanging up under an eave. The one I've got one beside my bed, so when I wake up in the morning, I can reach over and punch and see what the temperature is outside, or you know, check that. And it does pretty good. But I tell you what, don't do. You think you can do this, because that thing on the end you think is just a piece of steel. It's not. There's a name for it, and I cannot think of the name. It's some type of diode that's on the end of there. Don't change the length of the cable, because if you do, it will not read correctly anymore. I tried that. I thought, well, this is just a little thin shielded cable. I'd like for this to be longer. So I added, 8 feet to it, and it doesn't read right anymore. So the resistance of the cable has something to do with how it reads. And you can buy other probes from Radio Shack, but I never got the one I cut. I never got it to work right again. I mean, it gave odd temperatures.
Do they still make this?
The Indirector thermometer?
Yeah.
I think it's in all the blind catalogs. I love this one.
It's been the best. The little other one, the little fold-up thermometer that you gave me or sold me that we use inside, that's a battery hog. The battery starts out and it's a woman's voice, and then by the time, like 2 weeks from it, it's a guy's voice. It's like they had a sex change operation. And then by the next week, no voice. Yeah, I mean, it's out of batteries.
Radio Shack doesn't make those anymore, but you blind people, you can't set them. There's no way.
And I have trouble remembering because I don't have the manual, and you have to just go through all these modes. It's
really difficult to set, but of course you can't. You also can't. The indoor-outdoor thermometer has a clock also. You can't set that either. But if you just hook it up, you can get it to Fahrenheit. That's easy enough to do. And I'd say just live with it. But in the middle of the night, the worst thing is if you're standing in there at 4:30 in the morning making coffee and it goes, number unknown, it scares you. Because it's right there by me. I mean, it's in the middle of the house so that you can hear it all over the house. I have it turned up all the way so you can hear it everywhere. I don't remember where I bought it. It was about $50 from somebody in their little dollar. Anyway, our guest is, wait a minute, what is his name? His name is, let's see.
Heard on the 16th. This month for the Blind Handyman Show, we have Harry Cohen.
All right, so Harry Cohen is going to talk about thermostats.
Thermostats.
Talking thermostats for you, and we'll be back with Harry Cohen and more for the Blind Handyman Show in just a minute. Plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young person and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and as kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love. Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often. blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right. We are back with
Are we back? Oh, excuse me. Did you come back to me?
Actually, he came back to me.
No, I came back to Don.
You we can were, take it over.
We were trying to work out. I was dialing my long distance code, and Harry has an 800 number, so I didn't need it. Harry Cohen, how are you, sir?
Phil, I'm fine, thank you, and good afternoon.
We finally got through to you, and finally got this show done, didn't we?
We sure did.
Took a while. I was beginning to wonder if I was ever gonna make it. We're all well today. That doesn't mean we're all well, but we're all here.
Right.
Now, you are in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
I am, and currently it's about 33 degrees
in Minneapolis.
My yes,
goodness.
Sir.
Whoa,
a warm front.
But
they're forecasting rain. For this evening and snow.
But you're headed for Texas tomorrow.
In the morning, that's right.
See, that's amazing.
What a deal.
You're coming to, going to go to Galveston. You couldn't talk her out of that, huh?
I couldn't talk her out of it.
Even after I told you that the water in Galveston's not pretty and, you know, it's maybe crowded and who knows.
Fish up on the beach, you know, stuff like that.
Well, anyway, she can say she's been to Galveston.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And she got to do what she wanted to, and that sometimes is important, too.
And then also spending a couple days in San Antonio.
Oh, is that right?
On top of it, yeah.
Well, it ought to be nice over there.
It ought to be. River.
Go down on the river.
Down on the river.
Down to the river walk. Eat some Mexican food down there. Have you ever had Texas Mexican food?
Sure have.
Have you?
Yes, sir.
Well, good.
And it's good.
It is. I love it. It's
great.
It's cheap to make, and there's lots of restaurants that serve it, but it's really good.
Yes.
Now, you retired. What was your vocation? What did you do for a living all those years?
I'm an engineer, and I worked for Honeywell for 23 years. I started out in engineering. I was building circuits. I was designing circuits, and I went from engineering into marketing and sales.
All right.
And I retired from Honeywell in January of 2000.
Now, Honeywell makes what? What is their primary? They make all kinds.
They make all kinds of things now, from airplane engines to thermostats and everything in between.
And so you were designing circuits for all these different
Not
products.
All the products, control products used for heating, ventilating, air conditioning.
Okay, so...
Okay, those type of products.
Those kinds of products.
Yes, sir.
And you retired from Honeywell thinking, well, I'll sit around, fish a little, go out to my my ice house on the middle of the lake in the wintertime.
And sit out there, drill a hole.
Sit out there, drill a hole.
And catch fish.
That's right. I know about this from listening to Prairie Home Companion. I know about these ice houses.
Yes, sir.
A lot of whiskey drunk in those ice houses.
Oh, yeah.
There. buds and, you know, I love you, a little, you know, that kind of stuff. Anyway.
I was told by my wife.
Yeah.
I was given an ultimatum.
Uh-huh.
You know, she said, find something to do or move out. So I found something to do.
I think I was married to her sister at one time. Find something to do or get out.
So, that's right.
Because you were driving her crazy.
Yes,
right?
I was. Yes, sir.
You were in her around her all the time and just driving her nuts. And she had her life like she wanted it. So you retired. So you said, well, all right, here's what I'll think I'll do.
And I said, okay, I will find something to do. And I started up a business on the Internet, selling thermostats.
Uh-huh.
You know, from my days at Honeywell, I knew something about the thermostats, because at one time, that was Honeywell's...
Big thing, yeah.
Primary business.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, so I went out and I searched for specialized thermostats. You know, one was for cabin owners.
Okay.
They can call their cabin, say, on a Friday afternoon. The thermostat answers, and it tells them what the temperature is in the cabin.
Uh-huh.
And they can then, from their cell phone or their home phone or office phone, take it, you know, from 50 degrees, where it's at all week,
uh-huh,
up to 70 degrees or 68 or some number.
With a cell phone?
Yeah.
What a deal.
You know, start heating up the cabin, and if they're 4 or 5 hours away, the cabin will be warm by the time they get there.
Now, this piece of equipment, is it only do that, or can you do other things? Will it'll check, make sure that the electricity's on, and it'll do some other things. I mean, they make them that will do other things also, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, it is a full-featured thermostat.
Yeah, because that's the way... radio stations are usually not at the transmitter site anymore.
That is correct.
They're someplace else, and you have this thermostat at your transmitter, so you call the transmitter and see what the temperature is in the transmitter building, because you've got to cool it in the summer, it won't stay on the air.
That's correct.
This thermostat will tell you a lot of other things. It will tell you if there's been a breach of the door locks, or, you know, it will tell you many things.
Yeah.
You sell those also.
I do not sell those.
But you sell just the thermostat.
The thermostat, plus I sell a freeze alarm.
Now, what is that?
A freeze alarm people can put in their homes and their cabins, and if they go away, people from up here in Minnesota, you know, North Dakota, Wisconsin, and up in the cold country, take off in the winter and they go south.
Yeah.
Okay, and their house is vacant. Okay, they can put in a freeze alarm, and if for some chance their furnace fails, and the house starts getting cold, the freeze alarm will dial out to three phone numbers.
It will call you in Texas.
It will call three people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you...
The person of your choice.
That's right.
The persons of your choice.
Yeah.
Yes. And tell them there's a problem. Absolutely.
So Let me ask, go ahead. Now, I was going to say, Harry, thermostat, is there anything involving software? You know, is this, you've got a computer chip in here? Are we talking that? Or are you just doing the, with electronic tones? Or?
Okay. The freeze alarm dials, you know, telephone numbers.
Right.
Okay. The cabin thermostat has a microprocessor in it.
Right.
Okay. And the talking thermostat for the blind also has a microprocessor.
Okay. That's what.
We've built a house. All the other the regular listeners know that we've been going on it for 6 months, and I have heat pump, Train air conditioning, and a heat pump.
Sure.
And I'm getting having installed a Honeywell programmable thermostat for the heat pump.
Okay.
But I'm partially sighted, but I wasn't aware of you, but I've always been partial to Honeywell thermostats. And so I was wondering, you know, how yours worked in relationship to, I mean, it's obviously a computer involved, a computer chip someplace.
Today, most thermostats.
Right.
I have a microprocessor running.
Sure. Now
they're basically software thermostats.
And you also alluded to one that you make that that is completely programmable for, well, I guess sighted people use it too. But did you have the blind in mind when you did this, or
I am not the manufacturer.
Okay, I know.
I am not the manufacturer, but the thermostat started out as a talking thermostat, basically for sighted people and elderly people.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the manufacturer, excuse me, have a little frog in the throat.
That's all right.
The manufacturer said, hey, this thermostat could be modified with software modifications to put in voice prompting.
Yeah.
Okay, the first run did not have voice prompting. Okay, they put in voice prompting so a person who is blind can now operate this thermostat, and the thermostat tells them the temperature setting, the time, and it also tells these people how to change the time. It's all voice prompted.
Mm-hmm.
And I can show you that.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to put you on the speakerphone.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a thermostat.
All right.
Okay, hold it up to the speakerphone.
All right.
And I am going to run through its paces.
That's good.
You hear me?
We can hear you, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, I am currently on the speakerphone.
We noticed that.
It sounds a little hollow, doesn't it?
That's all right. We're a little hollow here. We don't. That doesn't bother us. We're kind
Texans
of.
Are not hollow, are they?
No, we don't mind. It's a hollow leg.
We thought it was because you were cold up there in Minnesota. That's what we thought.
Okay. Right. The thermostat, size-wise,
yeah,
is about 6.5 inches long.
Okay.
It's about 4 inches high,
all right,
and about 1.5 inches deep.
Okay.
You know, so it's the size of a standard thermostat.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
There are four primary buttons on the front panel of it. One is a button that is called report, and that gives the time, the day, the temperature, and the temperature setting.
Okay.
There are two buttons in the shape of half circles, one's pointing up, one's pointing down. And those are used for setting the temperature.
Like up and down arrows?
Up and down arrows.
Okay.
And there's another button. It's a help button that basically says if your furnace quits, if you're getting cold, if the thermostat's okay,
right,
you should call your heating contractor.
Okay.
Okay. So I am going to make the thermostat talk by pressing the button.
All right.
Thursday, 3:30, 7 p.m. Indoor temperature is 65 degrees. The thermostat setting is 68 degrees.
I'll be darned. That's cool.
Yeah, how did that sound?
That sounded fine.
It sounded good.
That sounded fine. Change something with the up and down arrows.
I am going to... Okay, it said the temperature setting was 68. I'm going to make it 72.
All right, go.
Okay.
69, 70, 71, 72.
There it is.
Okay.
That's great.
All right. Just up and down arrows.
It's up and down arrows.
Okay.
Now, this thermostat is both a manual thermostat and a fully programmable thermostat. When I say programmable, I mean there are four programs a day. Okay, that can be set in.
Yeah, that's neat.
Such as when you go to bed.
Right.
When you wake up, when you go away to work, and when you come back home again.
Okay.
So four different temperatures can be set at four different times.
Okay.
Okay, that's Monday through Friday. Most people's schedule change on the weekend. So there is a separate setting for the weekend. There's also four programs, but these programs can be changed, not the same programs, as for Monday through Friday.
Oh, so the weekend has four programs also?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, four programs. Okay, as I mentioned, everything on this thermostat is voice prompted. I am going to go in and change the day and the time.
All right.
And so on.
All right.
Okay, the thermostat
on the front of the thermostat is a door that opens up. There are 7 push buttons behind the panel. And it is laid out, 4 buttons on the bottom row, 3 buttons on the top row.
Okay.
Now, the way the buttons are laid out, the buttons are very easy to learn. So, the buttons on the bottom row are called daytime, run, weekday, and no. The upper row is on-off, weekend, and yes. So I am going to change the day and the time.
Okay.
I will press on the daytime button.
All right.
Thursday, 3:40 p.m. Do you want to change the day or time settings? Press yes or no.
I will press the yes button because I want to change it.
All right, and that's up.
Do you like voice instructions? Press yes or no.
Yes.
Press it again.
Press the up or down key to set minutes. When finished, press run. 42, 43, 44.
And the run button.
44. Press the up or down key to set the hour of the day. When
okay.
finished, press run. 2 p.m. 1 p.m.
All right.
12 p.m. Press the up or down key to set the day of the week. When finished, press run. Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
Sunday, 12:44 p.m. Program completed.
Okay.
That
all
is right. neat.
And now setting.
When you push run, the program was completed.
Yes, sir.
No, all right.
Okay. After every operation, you press run.
Yeah.
Okay, then it will prompt you for the next operation. And setting the temperature and the time for the programmed feature of the thermostat, it's done in the same manner. It's all voice prompted. Okay, as I said, the thermostat is both a programmable thermostat and a manual thermostat. And the feature can be turned on or off okay. with one of the buttons, just like this.
Program is on.
Okay, now the thermostat is in the automatic programmable feature.
Okay.
I press it again.
Program is off.
And now the thermostat acts as a manual thermostat. In other words, set it at 70 degrees, and it stays at 70 forever until you come back and change it.
So will it talk in that mode, Harry, in the manual mode?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, right now it's in the manual mode, and if you want to change temperature.
I want
61.
Okay.
Scroll up and down on the up and down arrows, and it will talk to you.
It will
also tell you the day, the time, the temperature, and the temperature setting.
But you have no difference in program. It stays whatever you set it at all the time.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, so,
yes,
Harry, obviously, you know, people can learn which, like most switches, to heat and cool. You left is heat and center's off and right is cool or vice versa. So will this tell me which mode I'm in, or does it assume that you know that?
It will not tell you the mode. Okay, there are two... switches, okay, such as heat,
right.
off, cool,
yeah,
and auto fan.
Okay,
auto
that,
run.
Which is normal on like a normal.
It's right. normal on yeah. all a thermostat.
And you just memorize that.
Okay. Memorize that. Generally speaking, you know, you set it on the heat mode and it's 6 and sits in the heat mode for 6 months, and then when it
right.
starts to get warm outside, you change it down to the cool mode.
Yeah.
So, price.
Well, we don't do 6 months. We have about 9 months of heat down here. All right, give me is this the only talking model you have?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is the price?
The price is $149.50
mm-hmm.
plus $10 shipping and handling.
So $150 to $160.
Okay, now there are two models of this.
Okay.
One model for the standard heating, the standard furnace air conditioner,
uh-huh.
as the people have up in the colder climates.
Uh-huh.
And there is a model for heat pump.
Uh-huh.
Well, you may
uh-huh.
have just sold one.
The heat pump unit is $10 more.
All right, who manufactures this for you, Harry?
Honeywell.
It is manufactured in China.
Okay.
As most products are today.
Yeah.
The manufacturer is down in New Orleans.
Right.
And they are called SmartWay Solutions.
But they are outsourcing these things to China, I think.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Harry, let me ask you this. Some blind-friendly products leave out sighted people. Does this have a digital readout where if, like, a partially sighted or just a totally sighted person could just use the... is there something that's going to tell me it's 75 degrees on a screen? Or
There is an LCD display.
Right.
There is.
Okay.
And everything that is displayed on the LCD display is spoken.
Great.
Okay.
That is super.
You may have just sold one of these. See, I priced the Honeywell non-talking for my heat pump. And it's $165,
right?
Programmable, and I don't think it does any more than yours does.
You need to buy one of those.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Also, the talking feature can be turned off.
How neat.
Excellent. Yeah.
And you can also set it for centigrade.
It wouldn't happen to have a security alarm where if somebody was screwing around with your thermostat and you didn't want them to, it would scream out or something?
No, sir. One other feature it has is basically a freeze alarm feature for freeze protection. Okay, it has a sensor that is totally independent of the thermostat functions.
Wow.
If the thermostat was turned off by mistake, if the thermostat failed for some reason, or if the four AA batteries in it died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the owner of the home wasn't at home, they were on vacation, whatever, and the house started to get cold. At 40 degrees, this safety switch kicks in, and it turns on your furnace, and it maintains 40 degrees in the house until the problem can be corrected.
That's a good feature right there. So
it's a safety feature.
Assuming that your heater's working.
Yes.
It will kick
your
on
your furnace has to be working and in good shape.
So even if those water pipes.
Even if you leave it off, even if you don't forget, if you forget to turn it on, it will turn your heater on and keep your house warm.
At 40 degrees.
What a neat feature. Now,
when you install this thermostat, do you have to do a switch or a setting between a gas and an electric furnace?
There is a setting for fan control, and that's what you're asking about. Okay, typically, typically gas, the fan is operated by the furnace itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. If the furnace does not control the fan, the thermostat has a setting. So when there's a call for heat, the thermostat will turn the fan on.
Okay.
Okay. So that feature is in there.
All right.
Now the thermostat is both heating, air conditioning, as I said. And it will replace probably 99% of all thermostats on the market today. Two-wire, three-wire, four-wire thermostats.
Very good.
All right, now, quickly, because we're almost out of time.
Yes.
How does a blind person learn about the operation of this thermostat?
Okay. A CD comes along with the thermostat.
Okay, that it plays in any CD player.
Any CD player or on their PC, and basically what the CD says is pick the thermostat up with both hands.
Mm-hmm.
And the rounded side of the thermostat should be in the left hand.
Okay.
Okay, from that point it starts and it says the button in the bottom left-hand corner is a report button.
Oh, okay, so
the features are
it gives you complete instructions as to how to operate the thermostat.
All the way through.
Excellent.
Okay, plus on the CD is a text file.
Uh-huh.
So the text file could be played with JAWS. or any text to speech program.
All right.
Okay.
You know, so it's covered.
Man.
All right. Well, let's get quickly to how one obtains one of these thermostats. Give us the email address, or you've got an 800 number.
Website.
Tell us what you got.
Okay, there is a website, which is www.talkingthermostats.com.
www.talkingthermostats.com.
Okay, make sure there's an S on the end of thermostat.
Okay.
Thermostats.
I have one question.
Thermostats.com, or they can call me at 1-800-838-8860.
838-8860. 1-800-838-8860, or talkingthermostats, plural,
.com.
That's certainly simple enough.
Okay.
If you...
once again, 1-800-838-8860.
All right. And the commission checks will be in the mail if we sell a dozen, right?
Yes, sir.
I had one question Harry.
One quick question.
Yeah, go for it.
What color is the digital readout?
The digital readout is your standard gray, black gray.
Okay, so it's on. It's like an LCD.
Is it an LCD?
LCD.
Not LED.
LCD.
So you could not read it without light at night.
The thermostat does have a backlight.
Oh,
good.
Okay.
That's a good
feature. Press a button on it, and the light comes on.
What a guy. Okay,
one other feature.
Yeah.
Okay, as I mentioned, the thermostat is battery operated.
Yeah.
The batteries last approximately 2 years.
And it'll tell you when they're going.
Approximately 2 to 3 weeks before the batteries fail, the thermostat will tell you low battery.
Right.
And at that time, you know, the battery should be changed. It'll give you a couple weeks to change them.
All right, we're fixing to be off here. Give me the 800 number one more time.
Okay, 800 number is 1-800-838-8860.
1-800-838-8860. If you forget that number, give me a call. Everybody's got my number. I'll give you the number. No. Harry, thank you much.
Hey, guys, thanks much, and have a good day.
I will. You enjoy Texas, and we'll talk to you in a day or two.
Okay, bye.
All right, more of the Blind Handyman Show in just a minute. The Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. As far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, I want a nice house and as kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well,
So far, it's been a labor of love.
For listening to The Blind Handyman. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
Okay. Well, you know, from time to time on the show, we've talked about little projects that we've either happened on or we sort of planned in advance. And then, like I remember in particular, we talked about putting up fence and different fence, and sometimes it carries over from one show to the next. And as most of the listeners know, the warden and I have built a new house. In fact, we're closing tomorrow. And so during the process, we wanted to put in a lawn. We did not incorporate that expense in the building, as you can do. Sometimes you can get a turnkey thing, or you can select or elect to do certain things. And putting in the grass is basically what we're talking about. And then
now we want to talk about grass, but we hope your eyes don't get red while we do.
Yes, not that kind of good. Get him out of here. Doesn't he have...
Oh.
All right, lock and load. Let's get him. No. Anyway, and so... down here in our part of the country, basically you've got what, Bermuda grass or centipede or St. Augustine. I guess there are probably others. And so centipede, I think, might spread faster, grows faster. It's a little narrower leaf grass, and then Bermuda
have to cut
is
it
very,
as often.
Yeah, very narrow. And then I'm kind of grew up in the old school, and I like St. Augustine, and that's what we opted for. And so. Basically, what I did is called some nurseries, nurserymen, people who do that, and I got various prices. I mean, and Buddy, they range from something I could afford to $5,000 or $10,000, just whatever you want to do. But we wanted a basic, say, give or take 100 by 100 lot area. With a house sitting in the middle of it, just a standard size yard, and I opted to do it myself, to buy the product and then install it myself. And it's really fairly simple. The grass, they sell it by the pallet, they call it, and this is I can't tell you the dimensions of the pallet. It's grass piled up on little sheets or.
Little sheets of grass, and they're approximately, well, like 2 feet by 2 feet would be a good...
They're more rectangular, but that would be a 3 by 2, 3 by 1.5, something like that.
So it's not all one big sheet of grass. Right. It's several small sheets of grass already growing.
And it's, already growing. It's cut out, and the dirt is on the bottom. It's really like a carpet. I mean, have you seen the stick-down linoleum or stick-down carpet?
Yeah. It's the same thing, only on a grander scale.
We could call this stick-down grass.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And basically, our guys determined how much we wanted to buy, and then they brought it to us, like I say, and a pallet will cover roughly 560 square feet. So that would be an area, 20 by 20 is 400 square feet.
Yeah.
So 25, I mean, this stuff goes up exponentially. 25 by 25,
would
roughly, would come close, yeah.
Now, I got a question. If you compare it to laying, like, floor tile,
right?
Do you put these pieces down, like, real close together or touching each other or
butt them up against each other, but you don't overlap them. But also, I've left a couple of gaps, and I don't think it matters. This grass is going to spread. If it doesn't do it this year, it's going to do it next year. And I can tell you a little anecdote. Like I say, this may cover a couple of programs. Basically, you get it on the trailer, and you have the guy park the trailer in a general proximity to the area that you're going to cover. In our case, we've had a lot of rain, so we had to park the trailer on our driveway, and then And so you want to put carrying, toting down to a minimum, you know. And I used a child, so sort of a heavy-duty child's little red wagon, and I would take off about 10 or 15 pieces of this grass.
Okay.
It weighs, it's heavy. I can't give you a thing. I just know that 3 pallets on a, you need a tandem axle trailer. So it weighs in pretty good. But each piece is not heavy. I mean, you can pick it up with no strain. You can handle it.
One person can pick it up.
One person, and a blind person could, because it's geometric. And so it's stacked on these pallets. They may crisscross. Like one layer may run the long end north to south.
Okay, but
the top layer would run east to west.
Well, that wouldn't matter. But you could feel the edges of the pallet and just pick it up.
Well, yeah, but if you were pulling it, you'd want to know which direction it runs, because if you pulled it from one way, you'd pull it out from another. You unload it like a spiral. In other words, you take this layer off. If they're running north to south, get that whole layer before you start on the next one.
Okay.
Or you'll be...
Yeah.
But,
you'll be pulling out from under
some layer. Out from under something. But
okay, a guy could figure that out.
Oh, very simply. And in the grass, like the dirt part of the grass, like when they take it off the farm, it's probably an inch thick. So in a sense, if you have a well-prepared area, you're also getting some sodding. I mean, the grass is rooted in this, and they cut it out like a cookie, just like you made a pan of brownies.
Uh-huh.
And then you just slice it. Well, that's what this grass is.
Now, if you are totally blind, the only sighted help you would need would be to get you started. In other words, if you had someone help you lay the border of your yard, you could, by yourself, do the rest.
Exactly. In some areas that I'm dealing with right now, the borders, the natural borders, you've got 3 out of the 4 possibilities. You've got the house, the driveway, and then you have one open area.
So if you had that open area, if somebody helped you do that, then you could do, the blind person could do the rest.
Well, or if you started with the house, which is going to give you a straight edge,
which would work.
You could come across and, in a sense, do the open area by yourself.
Yeah.
And
All right.
Also not rocket science. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, it just you lay it down the best you can. Some you have to cut some if you want to, or just fill in with some dirt.
All right. Well, we're out of time.
Okay.
We've put down some grass, guys. And if you have questions about it, you can email us. We'll do a cooking show next week, I suppose, with television star Dale Campbell.
All right.
Blind handyman. Thank you, Don Patterson.
I guess, will he be accompanied by Perry Mason? Or
I don't know whether he will or not. He'll probably sue us. Thank you, Don. Both Dons.
Yep.
Tom Houston.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. I'm Phil Parris. He said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.